U105 Lunchtime Bistro, along with John Stoddard. I'm delighted to welcome Kirk Wallum. And Reginald, too, is the man who owns the kitchen in Lisburn. We're going to talk to you in a wee second, but Kirk, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It is so lovely to see you. I mean, you must be exhausted. You're just off a flight, are you?
Just a wee bit tired, mm-hmm. Yeah. We played late last night and got up at 4. I couldn't sleep, so I got up at 3. And but you know what? It's fine. One day I'll be old and I'll sleep.
Well, I'm delighted to see you. And you too, John. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you so much.
Is this your
Kelly.
First time in Northern Ireland?
This is my first time in Ireland at all. Oh, and I am so looking forward to it. Yeah, the people have been wonderful so far. Yeah. So we're glad to be here.
Right, and Reginald, you have actually brought these guys over.
Yes,
what's
yes.
your part in this? Tell me.
Well, my part is Kurt's been a friend of mine for over 35 years. We met in Houston years ago.
And, we were toddlers.
Were you both musicians together, or how did you meet?
No. Just met him in a... He was playing at a place called Steak and Ale in Cody's, and I used to follow his music.
Right, okay.
I like jazz, and we just kept in contact through the years. I moved to and worked in the Middle East for about 25 years, but we would just communicate. Every time I come home and go to America,
keep in touch.
I would contact him. One time I came back, he actually got me free tickets to see Whitney.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Because Kirk, you have toured with Whitney.
Yeah, for 7 years.
Yeah. So were you good friends, or was it the sort
we were.
Of...
No. Very good friends. In fact, I would even say family. You know, when you're out on the road for that long, you really develop a deeper relationship and dependency on each other.
Yeah.
The band said we not only played with her, we also prayed for her. So we were like a support system for her during her better years, I should say.
Yeah.
And so when that all changed, you know, that was one of the things, one of the elements that was sort of unraveling when she no longer had that support system, you know, the family there with her. Literally, when she recorded that song, she recorded live to the film, and we were there performing. We played all together, and she sang. There was no overdubbing, no none of that.
She really was one of a kind, wasn't she?
She was one of a kind, and she really felt that song. She knew that it was a more important message than just, you know, oh, this is a love song, you know, Kevin Costner. That's nice, and it's beautiful, but no, it was a vertical message that she felt like God wanted people to know that he actually would do that. He would love them forever.
Yeah. She was a beautiful person, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad to see her decline. Did you watch her as she started, as the years went on? Did you watch her falling?
I was gone by then. You know, my career really is in jazz and in gospel. So when I played with her, it was like a departure for me.
Yeah.
And I was living in Europe, and it sort of, you know, worked out for me to work with her. But it really, I got back to what I was doing, and I would hear rumors. And, you know, and none of it surprised me because we sort of saw the... You know, the beginning phase of that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very sad.
But you have worked with so many people. Like, I see on your list, I was telling the listeners earlier, from Luther Vandross to Barbara Streisand and everybody, and Quincy Jones, my goodness.
worked with a lot.
Yeah. And did you work in studio with them or on the road?
I did. Yeah, no, only in the studio. Except Luther, you know, I toured with him a little bit. And a band called Everything But the Girl.
Uh-huh.
I toured with them a little.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, no, you know, it was just a matter of having moved to LA when I left Reggie in Texas. He moved to Bahrain. Rain or somewhere, and I moved to LA, and just being in LA during that very weighty season, you know, a lot of big records were made, and they, you know, I was hired, you know, by Quincy, by a lot of people, because I, you know, they wanted this particular kind of Memphis soul thing that I do. I don't think I'm that great of a studio musician, because the studio sax player can do anything. He's like a chameleon. She's like a chameleon. But for me, no, it's this one thing that I do, you know, and it sort of comes like breathing, right?
Yeah, it just comes second nature to
you. Yeah, so if that's what they need, they would call me,
yeah.
You know, or maybe Gerald Albright. There was maybe two or three people that kind of fit that bill.
Yeah. I was listening, I had a dinner party last night, and Kirk Wallum.
Sorry, I missed that.
You did miss it, because if I'd have known that you were available, I'd have had you down there performing live. Because
say this anything?
Do you know what? Everybody was coming in going, who is this guy? And there's a sort of like, not that you sound like David Sanborn, but there was that sort of vibe.
We were very close.
Yes, and people were going, that's David Sanborn. I went, no, it's not. That's Kirk Wallum. So I've introduced some more people. So how do you know John Stoddard?
Right. So I met John basically as a fan of his, you know, and then we started working together.
I was stalking him.
Oh. what's your background? Just for our listeners, John, what's your background?
Yeah, I'm a musician as well, pianist and a singer, songwriter, and producer and arranger. And my first record that I did, I recorded in my basement. And we were both being looking at signing record deals with Warner Brothers at that time. This was what, late 90s or
That's
so?
That's right, and we both did.
And we both did. And the guy who signed us to the label introduced us to each other.
Right.
And he called me at my house one day And I thought it was a joke. I said, this can't really be Kirk Whalum calling me at home.
Plus, I'm a lot older than him.
So tell me this, you know, but why the saxophone? How come? Because I know that your mother was a piano teacher. How come you didn't go down the piano route?
Yeah, you know, it was my grandmother, and my mother actually did play piano a little bit. She would chuckle at that. But you know what? The saxophone, my uncle, who was probably had a bigger influence on me, his name is Peanuts. Mm-hmm. Hugh Peanuts Whalum. And he's 85. He still plays. He still sings. But when I first heard him play, that was it. You know, I knew that I wanted to play that instrument. And let's face it. I mean, back in the 70s, this was high tech. I mean, this instrument with all these keys, and it was gold, and it was shiny and pretty. It was like a big piece of jewelry. You know, who wouldn't want to play it? Yeah. You know, as opposed to the clarinet. Yeah. You know,
yes, absolutely. Easy choice. Well, we're going to hear you perform that for us today. But I just want to know, why are you in town? What are you going to be? What are you guys going to be doing whilst you're here?
Reggie's got us running around like chickens.
Yeah. So. we're what's the itinerary? Tell us.
Well, the itinerary is he's going to. Come to the kitchen tomorrow between 12 and 2.
Now, where is the kitchen?
In Lisburn Square.
Right, okay. Right, so, Lisburn Square. And this is your restaurant?
That's my cafe.
Right.
My
and all you do is play Kirk Whalum music?
That's all I do.
Okay. Yeah, we'll throw down, though.
I do play mainly Kirk Whalum music. Yeah, okay. And that's why. And that's one of the reasons why I call it a jazz place.
Yeah.
And then Thursday evening, we're having the iLive workshop for the youth. And Friday at 12, Friday at 1, he'll be playing down at the Belfast Titanic.
Is he playing on the staircase? Is that
he can play on the staircase?
Wow.
Also, but
that's gonna be
but he's gonna be playing. He's doing a few songs in the atrium.
Uh-huh.
And then Friday night, there's a free concert down at the Place of Victory, right behind the Crown Bar.
Uh-huh.
And all you need to do is just log on and get free tickets.
Really? So yeah. Where do you log on to? Give us the information there. Let's have a wee look at that. I might need my glasses for this one. So. What's your eyesight
I've
like,
got
Kirk?
Mine on. Okay, here we go. There's a website. It's Let's Do This.
NI.org. I see it now. Let's do this. NI.org. All right. Better start getting your name right. Kirk Whalum, as opposed to.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, it depends. We lived in Europe. I was Whalum. You know,
You're happy enough.
Just call me.
Yes. a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet, right? Listen to me. You're from Memphis, right?
Yes, Memphis, Tennessee.
Now, this is where I'm going to pick your brains because I'm planning a trip to Memphis. I've never been.
Oh, my.
I've never been, and everybody keeps telling me I will love it. So I thought I'd do a music trip.
Yeah.
Now, given that I've never been to that side of mm-hmm. America, I don't mm-hmm. know anything about it, would it be fair to say that taking in Memphis, Nashville, New Orleans, would that be like a 2-week trip? Or what?
I'm going to tell you, you'll need every minute of that 2 weeks.
Right, okay.
You know, especially if you start in Memphis, because remember, all the great soul music that people love, from Isaac Hayes, from Otis Redding, the Staples Singers, Sam and Dave, Carla Thomas, on and on and on and on, that music came from Memphis at Stax Records, or Al Green. I mean, you know, Aretha Franklin, Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire, we could go on and on, that music, it was delineated by the fact that it was more raw than Motown.
Mm-hmm.
Motown was more polished, so it was this designed to kind of cross over and be kind of smooth. Memphis was never that. Yeah. It was always meant to kind of go, whoa, catch you, just grab you by the throat. Mm-hmm. And so Memphis soul is loved all over Europe and you know, all over the world. And when you get to the Memphis, the Stax Museum of American Soul Music, you'll see my office there because I'm actually...
You're the chief executive,
yeah,
that's right?
I'm no longer chief executive because I travel too much, but I'm more like artist in residence.
And my goodness, folks, we got the Don from Stax in the basement. That's fantastic.
You know, and so you'll find a soul that you will absolutely relate to. And please allow me to say this, that I think that Irish music is the most soulful music besides Memphis music in
Next.
The world.
Wow, that
I
sounds
really
something.
I believe that. Then you go to New Orleans and you'll feast and you'll hear the best jazz, you know, ever. Then you go to Nashville and you see, you know, country music. You'll see my son who plays country. And it's an amazing little tour. In fact, we're working on a riverboat tour that goes to those three destinations and maybe even further.
Yeah.
And then the Mississippi Delta, all the blues music. It's a really rich, and we see people from Ireland there all the time.
Yeah. Everybody says it's a fantastic trip. Is there anywhere else I should take in apart from New Orleans, Nashville,
Memphis? You won't
Nashville,
be able to Memphis. Take anymore. Yep. I mean, really, really. You know, you're going to be worn out.
Yeah. Is Sun Records a really tiny wee place?
Sun is also in Memphis. And, and you know, Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis and just, you know, there's so much music. Sun House, all the great blues artists recorded there. Yeah, it's a really incredible
place. It's going to be a good trip. Well, you know what? I could keep you here all day, Kirk, John and Reginald, but I want to get a tune out of you.
Yeah, I've got a saxophone.
So stuff. What are you going to do? Just going to jam?
So you know what? You've already heard I Will Always Love You. Why don't I do something from a new record we just finished called Human Nature by BWB. I'm the W. Then there's Rick Braun and Norman Brown. And we did tribute to Michael Jackson, to the King of Pop.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you what the song is because...
I play it all in my place.
Okay, I think you may be just old enough to remember.
Right. Shit. We had an audience. I was getting a bit hot. I was getting a bit hot there. Now.
I saw
steady, cool your jets.
I saw some steam coming out on your legs. I wish you could see this on the radio. She's beautiful, but she's really pretty when she's steaming. So next dinner party, you think you can invite John?
Definitely. I think we should all go to Reginald's place.
Yeah,
what sort of food do you do in the kitchen down in Lisburn? Tell me.
American food. I do a lot of breakfasts. I do French toast. I do waffles, fresh waffles. I do scrambled eggs. Like I said, I do pastrami sandwiches, pulled pork, barbecue
Texas
ribs.
Texas barbecue.
I think we should all head down to his joint. What do you think?
Absolutely.
I got a brisket on order today.
Here, listen, it's lovely to have you guys in here. I mean, really good fun. You've brightened up what day is it? Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday.
John Stoddart and Kirk Wallum. Also, Reginald, thank you very much for coming in. And once again, I'll give out that website address. Let'sdothisni.org if you want to go along and enjoy these guys live in concert. You can do that. Absolutely free of charge. Kirk, good luck.
It's a pleasure to meet
Thanks
you.
Thanks a million, darling. Cheers. John, all the best. Reginald, hope to see you again.
Right,
I'll be in your kitchen soon.